This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Moment, you know, the anti-hero comes home and you're reminded of the fact that, hey, maybe this guy wasn't so bad after all. And it does, I think it falls into that category that there are certain reporters, certain media types, that refuse to accept the old two things can be true at once type situation. Like, Cal might not be dead yet, and in the long run, Arkansas might be very happy that it hired John Calipari. Like, I think this jump to bury the Cal tenure at Arkansas was happened way too soon, right? And on the flip side of this, he probably did do Kentucky a favor by leaving, not making them pay the buyout to get rid of him. They would have been stuck with him. They didn't want him. He didn't want to be there anymore. They got to start fresh with Mark Pope. Mark Pope might be fine at Kentucky. It could work out, well enough for both. It is just, I think you're right. There are certain media types out there that really just want to see John Calipari fail, and that hasn't been happening the last few games.
Listen, I still got all my Arkansas stock. That's because I was really unable to sell it about 3 weeks ago. I'm now officially on the my guys watch. I'm watching every Cal post game to see if he's starting to refer to his team as my guys. I'm not willing to say because they beat Kentucky and Texas, like, oh, it's on. But like, I'm like one win away from being like, oh, this could be really fun. Because the way their schedule sets up, like the end of the schedule sets up nicely for them to go on a run.
And he's got some dudes on that roster. And also, like, he had to do, he was, by changing jobs, he was forced to do the thing that he wouldn't do at Kentucky, which was lean a little harder into the transfer portal. And I get it. Like, when you're able to sign McDonald's All-Americans, I think the game has changed a little bit. You do need those veteran seniors in March Madness. I think it's been shown. But I also understand it from Cal's perspective. Like, you're going to tell no, say no to McDonald's All-Americans. And so, like, he got out of the Kentucky situation. He goes to Arkansas, where he was forced to take transfers because otherwise he wouldn't have had a roster. And some of these transfers now are kind of starting to gel a little bit. And yeah, I don't know where it goes from here. I mean, maybe they revert to early season form, although I kind of think not. But yeah, they're a pretty saucy team at this moment, and they're one of the more compelling stories, I think, one way or the other. Do they turtle up from here? Or do they stay hot? I think they're kind of one of the more interesting stories in college basketball right now.
Blake, have a great weekend, my man.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, senior national columnist for USA Today Sports. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll get into the list, also discuss a little bit that's happening from elsewhere in the world of sports, also talk about some maybe props, whatever we're looking at for Sunday. We'll do all that during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The winners just keep on coming in the Zen Sports VIP Players Club Sweepstakes. Another Tennessee-exclusive grand prize winner has just been picked for the January Sweepstakes, and now Zen Sports is picking up and keeping the momentum rolling by introducing the new VIP Players Courtside Club Sweepstakes for February. One grand prize winner will win two VIP tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville, as well as a $10,000 bonus bet on any tournament game or an alternative $10,000 cash prize. You'll earn entries on every bet you place in February and every dollar you wager. Plus, you'll earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. You don't want to miss out on this contest. If you're not the grand prize winner, no sweat. You'll still have a shot to win one of 10 small prizes, which grant you either two tickets to any men's regional basketball tournament game and a $1,000 bonus bet on the tournament or $250 cash. That's not all. New customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, will receive 500 bonus entries. So head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you will also earn a $100 no-danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. $5 minimum wager to qualify for entry. Terms and conditions do apply. Full contest rules at zensports.com/sweepstakes. Let's get to the list. All right, Tim, last night at the NFL Awards presented by AWS, powered by FedEx, and boosted by Verizon. That's what it seemed like to me. We got the smallest Hall of Fame class announced since 2005. Antonio Gates, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, and Sterling Sharp are heading into the Hall of Fame. Again, it's the smallest class since 2005 that included Marino, Steve Young, Fritz Pollard, and Benny Friedman. Adam Vinatieri was eligible. Luke Kuechly was eligible. And, of course, Eli Manning.
Your guy.
So, going through the emotions, I kind of had the feeling that that's where this was headed. Dan Patrick, a couple of weeks ago, talked about the case and basically just laid out not a first ballot Hall of Famer. And you know when you can tell Dan has talked to people that have probably been in the room? I got that vibe. Here's my fear. I think Eli could be waiting for a while.
I'm surprised by this, and I you know, when his career ended and we got bored in the summer and everyone started to say he's not a Hall of Famer, my immediate take was, yes, he is. This is a waste of time. He's football royalty, number one. Number two, very good quarterback. Number three, two Super Bowls. He was the MVP in both of them, and both their wins were over the Patriots, including one over arguably the greatest team ever assembled. In 2007, I'm a bit surprised here, and I don't know if it's, you know, that room can get a little weird, and
you want to talk about groupthink.
The whole process is just like, you know, not to go down a wormhole, but like the Washington Redskins won three Super Bowls essentially because of the coach, who's a Hall of Famer, Joe Gibbs, and their offensive line, which had an iconic nickname, the Hogs. And the best hog is still not a Hall of Famer in Joe Jacoby. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but I don't know.
Jason Cole, who
Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, and she should have got in yesterday.
Jason Cole, who used to be on our show pretty regularly, he's a Hall of Fame voter. He said on Twitter this morning, the risk when you start doing the smaller classes is it's already the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. But you're going to really start creating a standard that other players weren't applied to. And I just kind of look at it this way. You can't tell the story of the NFL without Eli Manning. He has arguably the greatest upset in Super Bowl history. And the other thing is like...
Well, I'll say this real quickly just to jump in there. You could argue that it's either that or Joe Namath. And Joe Namath's not a Hall of Famer. Okay, but... Eli did it again. And that's my thing. Is like if the Giants only beat the Patriots in 07, a magical run, great defensive line, throw to David Tyree, and that was it, I'd be like, all right, yeah,
Joe Flacco.
Probably not going to get in. Joe Flacco, Joe Namath. We've seen the magic. He did it again, and I think it was Orlovsky who made the point today on ESPN, which was like, it was 2011, right? Their next Super Bowl?
Yeah, the 2011 season, the Super Bowl was in 2012.
He was an MVP-level quarterback that year.
They had the number 32 rushing offense, and they were like a full yard and a half below. Like, if you were putting it on a bell curve, they would have been off of the page. That's how bad they were. And he was getting absolutely rocked all season. They had no running game, and he was just doing it by himself. He threw for 6,000 yards that year.
Like, I get it, and the people will be like, well, he's only 117 and 117 over his career.
That's a Giants stat. By the way, that's my other thing. Go look at the Giants' history in, like, the modern era. There's a period where they had some guy named Lawrence Taylor, and they were really good. Then they sucked. They had that blip where they made it to the Super Bowl to get pounced by the Ravens, got trounced by the Ravens. Then they sucked again. They had Eli, and they were consistently decent. They have two titles, and since Eli's gone, they suck again. Noticing a trend?
Yes, I am. I'm noticing a bit of a trend there. I don't know. I don't get all, you know, I think Luke Kuechly's a Hall of Famer too. His numbers are insane.
Like, I agree.
I think Adam Vinatieri is the most notable kicker in the history of the game. He's hit some of the biggest kicks of all time.
Until Justin Tucker's last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But if a kicker's going to get in the Hall of Fame, he's one of them. So, I don't know. I just, Hall of Fames kind of drive me crazy. Because, like, someone out there who is deemed in the eyes of the baseball world is qualified to vote for the Hall of Fame and said that Ichiro Suzuki was not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, what drives me insane is,
like, how can you honestly, and I know I'm getting off like on a tangent here, but like, how can anyone who's associated with the sport of baseball watch Ichiro
and be like, well, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Everything he did.
Well, what makes no sense to me is, because I agree with you on Ichiro, there was also multiple people that didn't vote for Griffey.
Yes.
That made no sense to me.
Griffey.
Yet Mariano Rivera, a closer, and honestly, probably at the time, the best one of his career. But he's a closer, and he gets unanimous. Like, I don't understand.
Here's the thing about the Mariano Rivera, and then when Steph Curry got a unanimous MVP in the NBA. They were the first, but they shouldn't have been. Right, there should have been unanimous MVPs in the NBA prior to that, whether it had been LeBron in one of his years or Jordan in one of his years. Like, the voters messed up prior to Rivera. The voters messed up prior to Curry getting unanimous, because I know Sam Monson. He's a very smart mind. He voted for Brock Bowers to win Offensive Rookie of the Year yesterday. What?
Yeah, I mean, the thing on Ichiro is I kept wondering if it was a mistake, because normally when this happens, they reveal the identity of who didn't vote for him. This one, they're like, it's like our lips are sealed.
I mean, Babe Ruth wasn't, Hank Aaron wasn't unanimous. Like, what are we doing? But that gets me to this point of like, I don't know if it's just I'm smarter than everybody, and Eli Manning, you know, he's not as good as his brother, and he, you know, his numbers aren't great. Eli Manning played in the NFL for 16 years, won two Super Bowls, two of the most iconic Super Bowls, was the MVP of both of those Super Bowls. The dude's a Hall of Famer. Get him in the Hall of Fame.
I don't like the distinction of first ballot or not. It's like, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. And so, is Eli, all of a sudden, in 3 years, Eli is a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't today? He hadn't played any more games. What changed?
Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, in baseball, it's the same way. Like, Billy Wagner gets in. What changed your vote now that it's the 10th time around, outside of like, oh, crap, he's off the ballot if he doesn't get in now? If you thought he wasn't a Hall of Famer the first 9 times, what changed it? Outside of, you know, in the NFL, it actually made sense for a little while, because you could have, what, max 6, I think, in? Is that right? Because it used to be always 6 in a class in the modern era.
I think that's right. I never knew if there was a minimum, maximum. Like, I always just thought it was based on percentage, but I didn't know how many votes you got. But it sounds like when you talk to people that know the process, the vote is kind of predetermined. it's like the what they do, they like meet a lot and they like they kind of NCAA tournament it, like they discuss, so they kind of know who they're voting for by the time they actually take the vote.
Were you a little upset last night?
So I'm watching with my wife, and I just got when you kind of get that premonition, and I'm not saying like, oh, I'm, you know, some type of professional prognosticator, but it's just like, I didn't think he was going to get in. And then when you started looking at the list of who becomes eligible next year, and kind of when you start to like do the math, I think he's getting in, but I think it's going to be a while. Because I guess the biggest problem that I have with it is what gets held against him, I don't think is actually his fault. I actually think it's the fact that the Giants are actually a bad franchise, but people just are now catching on. I think is he the only NFC quarterback since Aikman with multiple? Rodgers has one. Favre has one. Young has one.
Yes. Russ has one.
Russ has one. If he hands it off, he has two.
Nick Foles has one.
Nick Foles has one. I think he's the only.
He has one.
Yeah. He's the only NFC quarterback with
Stafford
one.
Stafford has one.
With more than one, yeah.
Yeah. And he won the MVP of both those Super Bowls.
Correct. One of which with absolutely no running game. I was with you. Daniels. Like, I just hope, like, that's kind of the other thing you start realizing, like, with these awards is, like, should we just wait till the season ends? Like, I don't understand this idea of, like, well, the regular season awards is, like, so why are we not considering the playoffs? If we all accept that the playoffs are the most important part, why does that not factor in?
I guess what changes? Does Mahomes now get the MVP?
I mean, that is...
His numbers weren't...
Yeah, his numbers this
MVP-esque
year...
MVP-esque this year.
No, and I do think that's what opened it up. But I do think that's kind of the other thing. What the playoffs show us is... Yeah, you can hand out the MVP to whoever you want. The best player alive is still Patrick Mahomes.
It's kind of like LeBron.
It's
LeBron,
the same thing.
LeBron's won four MVPs. Get the hell out of here. Like, that dude's been the... I mean, not anymore, even though he had 42, 17, and 8 last night or something insane.
Listen,
but like,
I'm still bitter that Andre Iguodala has a NBA Finals MVP.
Yeah, joke.
Because...
But that's the thing about... narratives like, oh, he shut down LeBron. I'm like, he averaged a triple double for the series.
LeBron was the best player in that series. He should have been given the MVP. I don't care that they lost. If you weren't going to give it to him, you should have given it to Steph.
Yes.
It was getting cute and giving it to Iguodala.
He shut him down.
Now we have to listen to Iguodala for the rest of our days.
Well, that was
God,
like
insufferable.
That was like the stretch for like 5-6 years after. He's like, you know, he's a Finals MVP. I'm like, I guess the reason they were there is because of Steph. LeBron averaged like 30, 10, and 10, if not more, without Kyrie and Kevin Love in that series. And they won two games.
All right, let's go with UMass. All right, so this was pointed out. I think this was going hot in the streets. There was a UMass student that did the half-court shot contest for $10,000. Whoever the insurance company was that insured the prize then went back, watched tape from Instagram, and said his foot was on the line. We're not paying it out. So there's a couple of things here. Number one, why do these companies keep doing this? There is no way losing this insurance policy is worth the PR that you're going to get.
Did they think that in this day and age with video and everything that's out there, with social media having the strength that it does, that the people will be like, oh, yeah, we agree with you, insurance company. Yeah, his foot was on the line. He doesn't deserve the money.
Well, and it's also like, hey, you're in this day and age where you're not a particularly popular institution.
No, to say the least, yeah.
Like, why do you, like, who, why is there no one in the room that goes, we should just pay this out? It turns out the school said, we'll honor it, we'll pay it ourselves. If I'm a school, I'm not using them ever again, that insurance company.
No, of course
not. Like, hey, you really want to see how much, like, that school can go to any insurance provider and can use them. Good riddance. I don't understand the people that do these things. Wasn't there another one last fall where you're like, give me a break? I want to say it was another situation like where it was like a kid was doing something at halftime. I want to say maybe it was like at Indiana or Purdue, and then some insurance company went and put a stopwatch on it, and they said, wasn't within the 30 seconds, doesn't count. I mean, I made the joke to you this morning. This really is like the real life version in Christmas Vacation. Didn't think we'd be getting two vacation references today, but when Brian Doyle Murray gets rid of the Christmas bonuses, and his wife yells at him, like, of all the lousy ways to save a nickel.
That's a gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
It's Jelly of the Month Club.
I'm just, the only thing I can think of is semi-pro. It's a dude with no shirts on, and he falls asleep, and he hits the three-quarters court shot.
He gives
him the big novelty check. He's like, you got to go to the bigger bank to get
that one cashed. Jackie Moon. Let's go. Phoenix Open. Or the Waste Management, or now the WM. Although I think they brought back Phoenix Open, even though it's not open.
I think it's just a Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Yeah, even though it's not an open. It's a tour event. You pose the question, is 37, I think you're a few months older than me. I'll be 37 in August. Is 37 too old to go to the Waste Management? And so my first thought is, 37 is definitely too old to do Saturday at the Waste Management, which is the
sixth, the
unbelievable party of the year. Like, it's, I think the answer is, it depends. If you're doing like the, like, because that's the thing about the Waste Management, is what makes it an unbelievable party is you have the college scene, but then it's also kind of like bachelor party central, and it's also kind of like snowbird, like retiree getaway. I do not think at 37 you can go and hang out with the ASU kids.
So Emiliano Grillo, yep. I believe he had a hole in one today at 16, and the place just went nuts, right? Beers flying all over the place. Like, if I was sitting in the stands getting beer poured on me, I don't think I could do it. I'm at the stage in my life where I don't know if I could pull that off. But to your point, if I'm getting hooked up with a hospitality suite there on the 17th, I'm probably going to go to the Phoenix Open. But the reason I posted,
I'm going to Uber to the Phoenix Open.
Yeah, the reason I feel like this show has been like, man, how lame is Tim? Like, I could still have fun, man, and have some good times with my boys, but I don't, as I'm looking at the scene of the hole in one, and I'm looking at all the fans, and I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't be there with the bros just pounding, you know, Bud Lights and Mick Ultras. Like, I don't know if I could do that.
I think the problem is, it's like you said, it's not necessarily the quote unquote partying. It's the rowdiness. You get to a certain age where you just can't.
Someone pukes on me, I'm out, man. Like, and I just, like, I can't deal. Like, I could hang out as long as you want, and we can drink some beers and whatever it may be. But if I got some, like, 22-year-old dude puking on his shoes next to me, I'm like, nah, not for me right now. I'm going to go ahead and pass on this one there, Bob.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I feel like 25 is kind of the... Because then there's also the other thing. You're the 37-year-old around, you know, 10,000 21-year-olds.
Right. Yeah, that's also too.
I mean, what are they going to start doing? Call you Justin Tucker? Like, what are you doing here, buddy? Like, like, what is your end game here? And it's also like, I don't know, what's the conversation? Like what do we have in common? So I think that's part of it. But I also think it's just like, you just reach a certain age where I don't think you can be in a crowd anymore. And I feel like I'm at that point.
I was never a big, like, even in college, I was never a big, like, let's go to the club type
of guy. I was always a bar guy. I hate, because all the girls wanted to go to the clubs. Oh, let's get a WoHo. Let's get a WoHo. Hollywood tonight. Do we have to?
We did not have that. We did not have whatever that the club was in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Do you have a Billy Joel song?
We do.
Yeah.
I got that mentioned to me when I committed to play at Muhlenberg. Oh, at Allentown, Billy Joel. I'm like, yep.
Heard about that one. First person to mention that. Thank
Lupo's you. Lupo's Saturday night. We got $5 light pitchers. That was where it was at, man.
I'm still convinced that, like,
just seeing people walk around bar, they'd be like, they give you cups, and you're like, I'm not going to use these cups.
Yeah.
Just people drinking out of pitchers.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'll just take the pitcher. Yeah. I'll Freddie Kitchens this.
God.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the Super Bowl. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner. If you think about getting something special for that someone special in your life, go see our friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Shop now through Valentine's Day and get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with any purchase of $99 or more. Pick them up with your voucher between February 11th and 14th. But remember, it's only while supplies last. They're doing that, obviously, so you can shop now and still get the fresh roses for Valentine's Day. You can check out, while you're in store, the 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. It's one of the hottest gifts of the season. You can get yours for $7.99, but hurry on in because there is only a limited supply and they are moving fast. Also, check out the Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. It's a beautiful diamond necklace for just $129. It's the perfect way to say I love you forever. Obviously, a big engagement season. If you're thinking about getting engaged, go do what I did. Get your engagement ring over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have tons of options in store to choose from, or you can do what I did, which is the custom-made diamond engagement ring. It's not as daunting as it sounds. It's not like I'm a designer jewelry guy. All I did was brought in a couple of pictures of concepts my wife liked, how he went to work for me. We picked out the center diamond, and we got a never-worn ring before, under budget, great shopping process. Cannot recommend it enough. Again, free with every purchase of $99 or more. Get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates. They also have great financing options like 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Shop early for the best selection, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, or you can shop online. Couple of notes from Radioland that I wanted to mention with you, Tim. You notified me that Greeny is ending his radio program, and on his last day of the radio program, he did not even host?
No, I don't think so.
God, I love that.
I think it was Hembo and Q Myers who hosted the last
I assume
show.
Part of that got thrown in limbo when he had to get moved to Countdown.
Oh, yeah, I'm not faulting.
No, he's not the guy, but I knew you'd love this story. You see our boy Gottlieb's down at Radio Row?
Oh, dude, I did a whole thing on this. I mean, this is, and he has dug in his heels on this whole situation, and the AD is backing him. So, for those of you
they've lost 19 straight.
Quick little Cliff Notes version here. Doug Gottlieb, who has never coached a second of Division I men's college basketball, was hired to be the Green Bay head coach. And I actually understood the move. I was like, yeah, okay. And then he comes out and says, oh, yeah, I'm still going to do my nationally syndicated radio show. Oh, really? Okie dokie. They are 2-22. They've lost 19 games in a row. It's a school record losing streak. He also said, I don't know if it was on his, I think it was on his radio show at some point last week, he's going to be anticipating apologies from everybody when they
like
turn
that.
This around.
He wants pre-apologies. I love it.
Yeah. And then in the midst of the season, he went to Radio Row while they're on a 19-game losing streak.
I don't see what the big deal is, Tim. It's not like he's just partying on Bourbon Street.
He also missed practice on Thursday while down on Radio Row.
You could make the argument on a 19-game losing streak that might be good. That would be hilarious if they won on Saturday.
It would be great.
That would be tremendous. All right, let's get into the game. So I'd mentioned tomorrow's going to impact Sunday for me because I found college hoops impossible this year. I can already tell you this. If I'm up on Saturday and the Eagles still have a plus sign, I'm probably going to be brave and do it because, as we mentioned, I think in terms of football, I think they're the better team. If college basketball season tomorrow goes the way that everything has gone in college basketball season, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to sit there and go, I don't care that this is dumb, this is square, whatever. I'm just not going to do it.
So you're not going to bet at all, or are you going to take Mahomes?
Oh, I'm going to take Mahomes.
So if you lose tomorrow, You're going to take Mahomes.
Yep.
If you win tomorrow, you're going to take the Eagles.
Unless they're going to dangle a plus sign with Mahomes. I'm taking the Chiefs. This is the classic. If you pick the Eagles and you're wrong, you feel like an idiot. If you pick the Chiefs and you're wrong, guess what? The Chiefs lost. That's going to be worth celebrating.
It's fair. I have bet the Eagles. I bet them last night. I was late to the party. Thought I would get a better number. And now I've seen the market kind of move that direction. And I said, look, all week long I've been saying I'm going to bet the Eagles. So here I am. But look, I was looking back in my spreadsheets. I bet on Mahomes 2 years ago in this spot as an underdog. Down big, came back, won. And then last year, I actually bet on the Niners. So I have not actually fared all that well in Mahomes Super Bowls because I had the Niners in 2020. I had the Chiefs against the Bucks. Then I had the Chiefs against the Eagles. And then I had the Niners against the Chiefs. So I'm 1-3 in Mahomes Super Bowls. Trying to make it 2-3 tomorrow, baby. Or Sunday. So, have you already scoured the card? Do you know what you're going to be staring at there on Saturday?
I was looking at this. Do you realize in the AFC title game, that's the most design runs Patrick Mahomes has had in his career?
Yeah, like 11. Ended up with 11 rush attempts, right?
So this is kind of my other thing. I feel like a lot of people are judging the Chiefs based on the regular season when, admittedly, like if you watch them, they were kind of meh despite winning every game. But that's kind of the other thing. It's like, I'm in the camp, call me insane. I don't think winning 18 one-score games in the NFL is coincidence. I think that's actually a skill.
At this point, it is. Like, there is a stretch of if you keep winning one-score games, I think there is an aspect of luck or unfortune if you're on the other side, if you've lost four. Like Kansas football, for example, this year,
yeah,
they had lost a ton of close games, and then they go to BYU, and they're only a 2.5-point dog. And I'm like, alert bells, Kansas is going to win this game, and they did. I think at this point, it's Freddy Krueger, man. Like, whatever villain, you can't kill him.
And so I just kind of
look at throw him off the Nakatomi Tower.
I look at it that I think it's going to be a close game.
Agreed.
And so it's just the classic, I'm not betting against him and Andy Reid. And then, like, that's the other thing. Are the Chiefs going to be able to put the game in Hurts' hands?
Are the Eagles?
Are the Chiefs going to be able to force, like, we're going to make him beat us, Hurts?
Oh, I hear what you're saying. They're going to try. And I think he can. And that's why, for me, while I have bet the Eagles to win, and we have a guide out over at VSiN on our Super Bowl picks, and I was 24-23 Eagles, and Saquon won MVP, the more I stare at it, man.
Hurts MVP, yeah. I kind of
Hurts MVP, like, think about it this way. Let's just call it a pick'em game. It's a slight lean towards the Chiefs, but money lines are like minus 120 even.
I'm seeing most people think that by Sunday this thing could be a pick.
Right. I think it does close a pick, but that's beside the point. You're getting the starting quarterback who's not, you know, all due respect to Trent Dilfer. He's not Trent Dilfer. Like, this is a dude that was, what, runner-up at MVP 2 years ago? And we're getting him at, like, plus 350, plus 370? That's, like, an implied probability of, like, I think 22% or something like that. Like, that just doesn't happen from a historical standpoint. So I just think from a math standpoint, I have to take Jalen Hurts if I think the Eagles are going to win, because you're getting a really good quarterback at a insane price. Saquon Barkley, Evan Abrams put this out over at Action Network. Saquon Barkley would be the shortest Super Bowl MVP for a positional player. The only other two that were as close were Marshawn Lynch in 2014, Larry Fitzgerald in 2008, and Sean Alexander in 2005 were all 4-1.
When's the last running back to win Super Bowl MVP? Is it Terrell Davis?
Well, it should have. Who was the dude from the Chiefs that should have won it?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire
in 2020.
That was Williams, right? Something with a D. Damian Williams.
You're right. Last running back to win it, Terrell Davis.
How do I remember that?
That's a good pull.
This used to be a day where...
Super Bowl 32, 157 yards, 3 touchdowns.
This used to be... I have the party trick where it takes me a minute. I kind of have to write it out, but I can go back. If you start from when I was born in 88, I can do every Super Bowl matchup.
Wow. Did you see the dude my buddy sent me? There's some video going around of some kid in like a class, and his professor challenged him to name like every NBA champion.
Oh, yeah. It was a great video. It was a heck of a walk-off.
He was crushing it.
Yeah. He should have gotten an A for all that. Is there anything else that you like? I guess this is kind of the other story. Are the refs going to be the story?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I know that they were during the conference championship and the spotting of the ball. And I don't think they will be. Once again, I am very non-conspiracy theory. I don't think that Roger Goodell is in the ears of the referees being like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
we've never had a three-peat before. Let's make it happen for Patrick Mahomes.
Like I said, I thought that was a bad spot.
Yeah, I agree.
My whole deal on that, though, was like, I just wanted to know why they made the decision to go with one guy's spot over the other. Like, honestly, the other stuff, like, the Bills kind of got some calls, too. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the refs are only in the story if the Chiefs win. Because like that, I think Chiefs derangement syndrome begins with this Super Bowl when Bradberry got called for holding, and we had the game end on I guess technically they got a throw off, but basically it ends on Butker's short field goal. But what was fascinating to me is everyone was talking about that call ruined the game, and Bradberry was like, after the game, he was like, I held him. I was hoping they didn't call it. Like, you would have thought that would have kind of stopped it, but no, then that's like, I feel like that's when it all began.
Yeah, after the game, quote, it was holding. I tugged his jersey. I was hoping they would let it slide.
All right, when we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell The Story, Tell Your Story. I'm just going to say Kanye's whole Twitter feed right now.
I've missed this. What's happening?
There was one this morning. It's a lot of the anti-Semitic stuff again.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It was like, say what you want about Hugo Boss, but like the Nazis were well dressed. It's like, okay, I'm gonna exit out of this one here, buddy. All right, my man. We got one football game left. It's always a sad day.
Fun one tonight, by the way, for college hoop fans. St. John's and UConn at Gampel Pavilion.
Is Liam back?
Liam's back. I bet the Huskies overnight,
I might take the puppies. All right, my man, have a great weekend.
All right, enjoy the Super Bowl.
Tim Murray, of course, of VSiN. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis.
Disgraceland, dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.